And we're back. Jake is AFK. Where's Dave? There you are.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. I know we are. We've got a brand new Ike Live show for you tonight. Man, it's been a good one. Just had our first segment. We had Vegas the Hammer on. Also, Becky and Estella joined us for a little bit. Do a little catch-up. Dave?
Catch-up.
Dave, we've got two guests coming up. Very, very excited to have these guys on. Bobby Lane, Justin Lucas, both coming on. Two of the biggest, I would argue, two of the biggest names in the sport right now. But here's the thing I want to say. Both very down-to-earth guys. You know what I mean? Very down-to-earth guys, and I like that. Bobby just won a big championship event just a couple weeks ago, won the Red Crest. And Justin Lucas coming off of not one but two second-place finishes. Back to back, dude. Is that a role or what?
Dude, that's, I mean, two dudes that hang out with each other, killing it like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
A couple of dudes.
It's a role. It's a role. I give these guys credit too. Here's the other thing, Brian. You know, I'm very, very particular about like when I get into a tournament mentality.
Yeah.
Like I get like so zoned into what I'm doing. Like I don't want like outside anything. Like, I don't even want to make a call home sometimes because I'm so, like, zoned into what I'm doing.
That's correct.
Dude, both these guys are getting ready to fish derbies.
Yeah.
MLF event coming up, and they're here joining us on the show.
I mean,
so that's
one
awesome.
Either one of them would show up at Pizza Hut bare feet.
Probably right. Well, probably right. Definitely like, would.
Ready to hang.
Definitely good. Regular guys, which I like a lot. Brian, I'd like to get them on, man. I know they got derbs to fish here, so I want to get them on before it gets too late.
All right, well, we're ready, buddy.
Okay, joining us now via satellite from somewhere in Oklahoma. Where are they at? Oklahoma? No, they're in
The Ozarks.
The Ozarks. Yeah. We've got Bobby Lane, Justin Lucas joining us on Ike Live. Yes.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
What up, guys?
How you doing?
We're doing real good right now.
Let me explain the situation, Ike.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Lucas was supposed to do Chipotle bowls tonight, and he forgot to get the salsa. Instead, I was going to do the ribeyes tomorrow night. He just pan-seared two giant ribeyes, caramelized onions, and
Ooh.
Potatoes.
Ooh.
So we are fat and saucy tonight.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
Now, see, I like the sound of that. I'm a big believer that the night before the tournament starts or the night before practice starts, you should have a good meal to get you through the week. Do you guys believe that as well?
Oh, let me tell you, this meal, these were prime ribeyes. These weren't the little, you know, just buy the one that has a little bit of marble in them. These things were like an inch and a quarter. Yeah. If you believe in it, Ike, then I got a camera in the morning also. This guy gets the day off, but, you know, I should be lighting that score tracker up if you believe in a good meal, because that thing was legit.
Well, I'm going to be watching tomorrow because I think you're both going to catch him in this tournament. All right, first things first, where are you guys staying? Lucas, I know you like to do the RV thing a little bit. Looks like you guys are in a house. You staying together this week. Talk about your lodging this week.
Yeah, I got scared during COVID a few years ago and sold the RV. I didn't know what was going to happen, so I bailed on that thing, and then we've just been doing Airbnbs ever since, and it works out great.
Yeah,
we both love to cook, and we love to eat good, so we always make sure we've got a full kitchen and load up on groceries before, and we never go out to eat hardly. We're always cooking, so
we are like a mile and a half from Osage Beach boat ramp at Lake of the Ozarks here, so
that's
it's
awesome.
Like perfect.
That's awesome. I want to talk a little bit about the lodging itself, because for me, when I look back on my career, that changed as my career, you know, grew. I can remember, you know, my first couple years at the Invitationals trying to qualify for the tour. Dude, you're sleeping in the rattiest hotels. As your career gets a little better, then you're staying in better hotels, right? The Holiday Inn Express instead of the Red Roof Inn. And then now you're at Airbnbs, you're at VRBOs, you're staying at like Biggie Small Houses, your mini mansions, McMansions. I want to hear, Lucas, start with you. Bobby, next, after that, give us your worst lodging story ever from your career. Like, the worst thing you've ever slept in, the worst place. I want to hear them.
Mine was at Kentucky Lake, and it was bad, dude. There was, I'm pretty sure there were hookers and stuff. I heard girls outside and random knocks on random doors all night long, and it was called like the Lucky Charm something.
Yeah, the name gave it away to the hookers right there.
Itch and scratch.
Paying $40 for that place, and it was like, man, I would have been better off in my truck on the side of the interstate.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It was god.
Bobby, I'm sure. I'll say another one too, real quick. My buddy and I went down to Okeechobee, got there at midnight.
Yeah.
We were told the wrong hotel, apparently, and woke up in the morning. I hop in the shower right away. It's 5 a.m. Got hardly any sleep, whatever. Get out of the shower. My buddy's like, dude, look at my back. I got blood on me. And I'm like, blood on you? What the, like, this place was a rat. Like, dude, rat hole. Like, we left all our stuff on the kitchen counter in the hotel.
Oh, my God.
The pillowcases look like desert fatigue camo.
Put anything on the floor. So he says, does he have blood on him? And I'm like, no, you don't have blood on you, dude. But, like, why? And he goes, look at my bed. And he pulls the
sheet
back a little further, and all these bugs go running. There's all
blood.
And, dude, so I didn't know any better. I didn't know nothing about bed bugs. So I'm like, I'm like, dude, you got bed bugs. Oh, my gosh. And he's like, well, how about you? I'm like, I'm good. I just got out of the shower. I'm good. He goes and pulls back my covers. Freaking bugs going
everywhere. Oh, my God.
Dang, dude.
Dude, that's bad.
We packed everything up and got out of there real quick.
That's bad. Bobby, give us one, man. I know you've got 1,000 of them, too.
I do, but I can't top the bed bugs. I promise. You guys remember Derek Rimmitz. I used to run with him a little bit. Yeah. Me and him were coming back. I actually think it was from Kentucky Lake, and we grabbed a place somewhere, one of them America's Best Inn or one of the Value Inns or something. I walked in and I said, Rimmitz, this place doesn't smell right. He says, if you drink it, it'll smell fine. And anyways, I went to sleep and the air conditioner started making a ton of noise and like this awful smell come out. And I was like, golly, man, I don't know if I can do this. And it was mildew and it was like growing walls. It was horrible.
Oh,
and I remember about 2 o'clock that morning, I, for some reason, slapped my forehead and it was a roach in the palm of my hand. And I went and kicked Rimmitz and I'm like, dude, I don't care if you're sleeping or what. We are out of here like now. And we left at like 3 o'clock that morning. But since then, my wife says, you know, it's safety before anything now. So it's, you know, the Hamptons, the Fairfields, but didn't have the bed bugs, but I definitely had a shot of mildew and it lasted for weeks. After that.
Yeah. Well, it's well deserved.
Ike, what's yours? I gotta hear one. Ike, you have the same road we did. Let's have yours.
Oh man, I've got so many. This is actually Brian DeCarpenter. This is a whole entire series we could do. We could do an Ike Live series based on this. But I have, like Justin, I have some with hookers for sure.
Oh.
I've had some. One was in Palatka where I had, you know, like a drugged up dude trying to break into my room. He followed my cord from my boat and he's banging on my door and he saw my plates. I had Jersey plates and he's like banging on my door. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, so I, like, crack it open. I still had the chain, you know, on. And he's like, I'm originally from Trenton. Now, that was a pretty bad one.
That was it.
But I had another one with the bugs in South Carolina. And it was – we rented a house. John Cruise rented it, so he gets all
figures.
The blame. Shout out to John Cruise. And he rented a hoarder's house. So we, dude, this is amazing. We get into this house and there is stuff piled floor to ceiling in all the rooms. Dude, I opened the kitchen thing, you know, with the utensils. Dude's got like 30 can openers. He's got, like, just, you know, he's an actual hoarder.
But when you walked in, did you do your normal grab your stomach and bend over laughing thing that you do?
I mean, it was bad. But here's what it was. So we end up having roaches, just like Bobby, you had roaches. So we saw a couple roaches. So John calls the guy. Oh, and the guy lives, like, not far, and he comes by. And John's like, yo, man, what kind of place did you rent? Look, you got roaches in here. And he goes, they're not roaches, they're palmetto bugs.
Yeah.
Try calling them palmetto bugs. So, I don't know, they were freaking roaches.
And they're like
to
the
me.
Size of like a key.
Yeah.
Those things, dude, they're huge.
Oh yeah, they were roaches. They were roaches. But I've got some bad ones. But things are better. Things have changed for you guys. Justin, I want to corner you on something.
Mike, we got a guy on the message board.
Oh, we do. Let's get one. What do we got?
Andre wants to know if Justin, did you stay at a haunted house? Maybe see some ghosts in Maryland.
Oh,
yeah, that was an interesting one.
Wait, Justin.
Wait a minute, we got a ghost story.
You're
now.
Amongst friends, Justin.
The quick one of that is I booked that place on Airbnb and. It was on a farm in Maryland over in Indian Head or whatever. Oof. And got there, and the 75-year-old man met me there, and he kind of had this like just eerie, you know, thing about him. And he's like, we're gonna switch you over to my mother-in-law's house. I'm like thinking, your mother-in-law is still alive?
Oh shit, dude. Good point.
And he said, yeah, she's gone. And anyways, he walks me through this house that was built in, I don't want to misquote, but I swear he said 1750 something.
That was around for the wars. Okay.
Hell yeah.
The guy that built the house built it for his daughter, and it's been in their family ever since. And the guy he was telling me was friends with George Washington and all this.
Holy
dude.
Shit.
So it was like, there was some creepy photos. There was Civil War guns and swords and wow. Dude, if Cal Lane, Bobby's nephew,
yep.
If he hadn't stayed with me that week, I was out. Like I couldn't have done it.
Wow.
It was a scary, very scary place.
Now, is that the turn? That's not the tournament you won on the Potomac.
No.
That was last year, actually, in the pro circuit.
Okay.
And I remember Cal calling me and is like, Uncle Goof, I swear there's ghosts in this place. And I'm like, what? We are in the middle of nowhere. Like, if those two weren't together, they would have never survived. It was one, it was two or none.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have stayed. And the creepy part was the guy would come at like 9 o'clock at night and just knock real quick and walk in. Cal's like, no, dude, that ain't right. So he went and got his gun out of the truck. And I'm like,
jeez.
Right, with a lantern in his hand.
If that dude walks in at the wrong time, there's going to be problems.
But, Justin, did you see any, like, apparitions or hear anything?
Spirits, vapors, poltergeists?
The first night, I was so scared that I slept so bad, I woke up in the morning and I felt hungover. I had a drink of anything, but I felt, like, just really bad hungover.
Spirit energy drained you, man.
And I'm trying to fish, and it was just like total worthless day. But I was so tired after that I slept a lot better until we had an off day, and then I got to sleep in, and I was well rested. And then the night before the tournament, I was all freaked out again, waiting to hear something or see something. But I never did. But if you were going to see something, dude, that was the place. Like,
that whole area is a huge...
There's a lot of history there.
Huge area for people that go and search those types of things.
Right. There's a lot of history.
Massive. People would love to search this house.
Yeah. Wow. Well, do me a favor. Send me the link to that place so I never book it on a Potomac tournament.
Wasn't even the right booking, dude. The other place, he was like, yeah, we're going to take you from there and put you in here. But when I saw the other place, I'm thinking, oh, this is an upgrade, you know, but.
Oh,
I actually stayed at the Belle Alton that week, Mike, and the cats have multiplied twice.
Oh, man. That place is crazy.
Dude, the Belle Alton is still there?
Still there.
Oh, my God.
Still there. Thousands of cats. Yeah.
It was 500 cats, and now there is 1,000 cats. They would literally walk in your room if you left the door open.
Yeah. There's something special about that hotel, though, Bobby. I mean, think about
brings luck.
It's a lucky hotel. You've had some good finishes staying there. I've had some good ones. I've won one staying there. I don't know. There's something about that place. Yeah.
I won two. What were they back then? Everstarts?
Yeah.
I won back-to-back years staying at that special place. That one year, the power went out, and I remember eating raw hot dogs on a bun. No, the guy came in and plugged the generator in, and my microwave worked, and I heated up hot dogs, and I ate like five of them every night with Wonder White Bread or whatever.
That's good.
Whatever, it worked. I mean, I ended up catching them really, really good. But there is something special about that place. I always stay there, but I stayed there last year, and I almost finished dead last in the pro circuit, so... But, you know where Justin's staying, and I guess maybe I need to get like upgrade a little bit in the Bell Alton.
Yeah. I mean, the lobby of the Bell Alton feels like you're in the purgatory of the movie Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah.
Like when you walk in there.
Oh, it
you
does.
Know, like
it, yeah.
There's that weird smell of like mothballs and cat
urine. Yeah. I love it. Here's the thing. This is funny. So we definitely have a lot of young anglers that listen to this show live, watch it post show, a lot of aspiring fishermen. I think you guys, through those stories, have just scared away a good 2,000 kids from wanting to do this for a living. You probably saved them, to be honest with you. So, so thank you guys for the honest stories. Justin, I wanted to quarter you real quick about how life's changed for you a little bit with having two kids now. Talk a little bit about that. Bobby, we've been through it. Our kids are older. They're grown. I want to hear it from you. How's life changed for you a little, Justin? How's touring changed? Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, man. The first couple weeks with the second was very interesting.
Yeah.
That was hard, dude. But thankfully, we planned, you know, and had both of our kids in the fall. But pretty much when I'm not fishing a tournament, I'm at home, and I don't fish Gunnersville ever now, pretty much. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But My older guy, he's 4.5 now. He's getting old enough that I can start taking him. So we'll be able to go to the lake. But literally for the last couple of years, you know, I have not fished Gunnersville, but I bet you 10 or 11 days in 2 years.
Wow.
Like because when I'm home, you know, especially doing a few different tours, it's like when I'm home, I got to spend time with my family.
That's right. Yeah.
Caught up with just family time, man. You miss them. It's hard. It's hard being away. And when they send you pictures and everything, or you come back and they change, or they're acting different or look different or whatever.
Yeah.
So
I'll throw this one in there, right? Because you got to have a little humor in it. But his new one absolutely hates the car seat.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Talking, raising royal hell in the car seat.
Once out.
Bree's not here this week. So
yeah.
We had enough of the car seat, man.
That's awesome.
We're waiting until June until he gets back in that thing.
That's awesome. Let me remind everybody watching, we've got Justin Lucas and Bobby Lane on. If you got a question or a comment, please send them through. Jake, we got anything coming through? You want to shoot one through?
We got two of them.
Okay.
We got a general one for you and both the guys.
Okay.
Everybody sitting here is an Abu guy.
Abu guy. That's right. Yeah, three Abu guys.
If you had one combo to pick, what's your favorite?
Oh, that's a good one. All right, fellas, let's start with you. Bobby, we're going to start with you. Go to Justin, and then I'll answer it last.
Yeah, and I'm going to probably steal Justin's, but, dude, you can't go wrong with the Fantasista X, 7-foot, medium heavy, all around the best jig, spinnerbait, just hands-on rod you could ever use. And I'm going to go with the ALX, dude. You can't beat it. 15-pound, 100% Berkeley fluorocarbon. You can do so much with that rod. It just makes perfect sense.
I like it. Justin, give me one you have to have.
I'm going to say the 7-foot medium heavy Fantasista X spinning rod.
Ooh.
And the new Xenon spinning reel. That's my jam. I love that thing.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I'm going to go with the new Baitcaster that they have. And I got one at the we did a tackle warehouse shoot down in Florida at the beginning of the season, and they gave me one. So I own one. But that reel is banging.
I got one. I got two. I'm the lucky.
Wow, Bobby Lee got
dude,
two.
Dude, that reel is like real deal. Like, I cannot wait for, you know, I cannot wait to get more because I still have one.
Seen handles so cool in your life? I mean, really, like, yeah. I got the Kraken reel and then I got the eight. But, dude, the hand, I let Lucas look at it every tournament. He's like, just let me cast it again or let me just look at it. And he throws it, and he's like, golly, I just love this thing. And I'm like, well, you can give it back now. Those things are sick.
Hey, Bob, Charles, Mike Sales guy, is hiding behind his love seat right now, knowing you got two and Mike's only got one.
They're hard to get. They are hard to get. I want to take that question one step further, though, and yeah. I'd like to put a spin on it, and we'll do it in the same order. Guys, give me one Berkeley bait that you have to have. One Berkeley bait. I know there's so many good ones out there, but give me one Berkeley bait that you have to have, you have to own. Give it to me. Bobby, start.
Bobby.
Dude, it's simple for me lately. It's Fritz Side 5 HD Brown is my absolute new favorite.
Yeah.
And all the colors are awesome, but the bait alone is a win-win.
I'd agree with that. Let me just mention, we had Vegas on, my son, on the first segment. He caught that winning fish in his tournament on the five what's the red one? Not with the orange belly, though. It's like red, like the candy red one. I can't remember the color.
Yeah, red.
Candy apple red. Vegas caught that on the Fritz Side 5 Candy Apple Red. It's a good bait, man. That thing's the real deal.
Really good bait.
Yeah. Justin, give me one.
Flatworm, baby.
Flatworm. You've done pretty well with that bait the last few years.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Do you ever, like, the flatworm thing, like, after you won those tournaments, you could not get them. Like, I had people calling me, saying, oh, yeah, you got to give me a bag. I'm like, I can't get them. I don't have them. I start looking on eBay. After you won those few tournaments, Justin, I don't know if you knew this, but they were going for $20 to $25 a bag on eBay. Do you wish you would have got some kind of royalty off of that? Just a little. Like, a little. Like, you could have called John and been like, give me 1% of off of that John or something, you know?
I knew that was happening because I got a buddy actually that lives down by the Potomac that texted me a screenshot of his sold auction. He sold 50 bags for like $1,150.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Bang. One guy bought all of them.
That's incredible.
So, the hell is that dude's problem?
I don't think there's ever been a soft plastic that's brought that kind of money.
Yeah.
He drives with a mask by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. He might. I'm going to go real quick, and I'm just going to say I'm going to go Maxent, because Maxent, like, the funny thing, and I've mentioned this on the show before, when Maxent first came out, I was like, it's great for smallmouth. But I am becoming a believer that largemouth like it just as good. I really am becoming a believer in that. So I'm going to go 6-inch general Maxent. You got to have it. You could do a lot of stuff with it. So I'm going to go to general. Bobby, I want to jump to you real quick. You're coming.
Well, hold on.
Yeah. Oh, we got another question.
No, I was just going to point out that Jake was part of gouging people for flatworms.
Oh, Jake was part of gouging
people. What was the most you got for a bag of flatworms that you gouged people for?
Yeah.
$12, but it was the good color.
Oh, $12.
Brownback, $12.
Brownback.
Yeah.
Was that the going price?
Good color.
That was $12, and I know the guy. He helped me out. You know what I mean?
Oh, now, you mean that's what I paid?
Yeah, you remember that, Brian?
Wow.
I just remember I didn't ask any prices, and you told me the how much, and I was like, damn.
$12 a bag.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I paid. That's what I paid.
And, better than that, my dad got them way early, and I told him, give me those bags. I'll buy you double when I can get them back in stock.
Yeah.
And I was going to put them up for the $25, $30 a bag, and
yeah.
He was like, I need them. And then they sat in the box for the whole year in the garage. Made no money, no investment, and now he has no bags of flatworms left.
Man, it's a good bait. It's a good
That's what we're dealing with right here. He's a shark, dude.
That's it. You got it. You got
like
a business
fucking
mind.
Elon Musk of tackle.
Elon Musk of tackle over here. That's good.
He don't care.
Bobby, you coming off a big, big win. I want to jump into that a little bit. Let me start by saying this, and I'm not just because you're on the podcast – Not just because I consider you a friend, but I want to tell you this. Dude, I was rooting for you big time, like, and a lot of people were. A lot of people in South Jersey here were like, on the edge of their chair in that event, watching you. And when you won, dude, it was a great thing.
Because, it saved bass fishing.
Yeah, you saved bass fishing. It's nice when a good guy wins, right? You know, when it's your time to win, you win, and that's the way it is. And sometimes the guys that win are douchebags. Sometimes they're good guys, and you're a good guy, and it was awesome. Universal applause for Bobby Lane for that win, guys.
The Phil McConkey of bass fishing.
Yeah.
Bobby!
It was awesome. But here's the other thing that I loved about the win, and then I want you to talk about it a little bit. You beat that fucking forward-facing sonar! Yes!
Bobby!
Yes!
Bobby!
Shout out to Just Fishing and not using that fucking thing. Yes!
I'm clapping to that one.
Yes!
Woo! Yes!
Talk
yes,
about,
indeed.
Dude, talk about the win a little bit. Had to be, I mean, you won a lot in your career, but that had to be a big one for you. Talk about it, man.
That was the biggest one ever. I mean, you're right. I've won a few times, and those have always been – anytime you win, if you win anything, it's super cool, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Major League has had Red Crest for 2 years now, and it was kind of show up at the boat ramp, and the winner got a trophy, and off we went. You know, this was our big time. This was our big show. And to have it in Tulsa, we didn't know what to expect. We were all kind of, you know, like, wow, what's going to happen? And I told my wife when we went to the gifting suite and the angler dinner, I said, Madeline, this feels real. And she's like, she hasn't been to any of it yet. She just flew in. And I said, I'm telling you, it feels real to me.
Yeah.
And she goes, like the old days? And I said, absolutely. This feels just like the classic. The any major tournament I've ever been in, this is as good as it's gotten. And, you know, once it was all over, let me tell you, the limo ride, stepping out in the paparazzi, having that huge crowd there, that's what did it for me.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it. That's the way I pictured a big win, the confetti, the explosions, the fireworks. And, you know, my brother being a classic champion like you, Ike, in 2012, Chris was, and the Red River there. And to watch him hug me like he did and to have him share that moment that I shared with him in the Bassmaster Classic, I think he's been waiting, you know, 10 years now to give me that hug. And to have my family there, this is the first Red Crest that my family actually attended. This is the first one my brother was actually there at. Weigh in, and the way that it went down, I don't think you could have wrote the script any better. So all in all, man, it was it's life changing, number one, and it's still emotional to this point, just as it was the day that I won.
Man, that's awesome. Championships are hard to win. I don't care what circuit you're fishing. It was an awesome win to watch it. How good does it feel to add a world championship, to add one to the family? You know, you look at families in bass fishing over the years. You look at the Hibdens, you know, there's other ones, but dude, with you and Chris winning two like that, that's gotta feel good.
Well, you know, kudos to my mom and dad. I mean, they birthed us and they let us live our dream. I mean, that's what it was all about. They could have, I mean, I had a scholarship to Virginia Tech to go play soccer, and Chris could have, well, he couldn't have done anything, but he was. but, you know, I blew my knee out my junior year in high school and had ACL and all that. And it led me to, you know, we both kind of just metered around with some little bit of college, and we just loved fishing. And he started back in the BFL days. I watched him go to the regionals, and I'm like, I think I can do that too. And off our careers went, you know, and it's definitely had its bads and its goods. But, you know, for both of us to be world champions, I think the Lane name is strong. We got Cal Lane coming up right behind us.
Yeah.
The kid's coming off a 10 grand check in Pickwick last week. So it's really cool. When we, just like last week, man, me, Justin, Chris, and Cal, we all got to room together. We played cards. We cut it up. I mean, it's like things just don't get any better, minus not having my family there, of course. Yeah. But it's cool to be a world champion. It's for my brother to be a world champion. And we're kind of, you know, hoping, setting the stage for the young guys. You know, I'd love to see some more young guys get in this thing and be brothers. And, you know, Matt Lee could win one. And Jordan's already gotten his. So I don't think there's a whole lot of other brothers that are knocking on the door right now besides those two. But that win was super special. And like I said, to have Chris there was super cool. And Justin and Chris were actually on their way out of town. They both turned around, left town 45 minutes. They were on the road. They did U-turns and hauled butt straight back to the expo.
That's awesome.
You wanted, dude. It was kind of like, okay. And then
bam, like myself is that Phil Mickelson. I like to get myself in the rough.
Yeah.
But I like to make a birdie or an eagle and show them that being in the rough isn't such a bad place to be sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely him.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Who's the better golfer out of you two while we're talking about birdies?
Oh, that's a good question.
For sure. Yeah, I can take him. Chris would be a little bit. Chris is right there. But, yeah, Justin is good to have on the course for sure. But he's so competitive. And he's actually got a real – you know, his brother played on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Oh, yeah.
What tour?
So, Kevin Lucas played on the Korn Ferry Tour. So he's got it in him. We just fish so much that – we don't get any chances to play golf much.
Bob, for people that don't know, like, what's that level, the Korn Ferry Tour?
I'll let Justin explain that when he knows it.
It's AAA, you know, that same as Toyota's or Bass Opens.
But why'd they call it that?
That's a sponsor.
Oh.
Korn. It used to be whatever, the Nike Tour, or, you know, I don't know, whatever, web.com.
I think the top different names five in the points actually qualify for the PGA.
Top 25.
Yeah. Wow. So it's similar to what we're, you know, top 10 in the points, blah, blah, okay. blah. But
Korn Ferry.
If you can solidify yourself on the Korn Ferry Tour, then you get a crack at the PGA Tour.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Word is bond.
That's crazy. I gotta say though, you guys rooming together, you guys spending some time together, I think it's wearing off on both of you. Justin, I said it before you guys came on, dude, what a role you are on this year. Freaking two second place finishes in your last two tournaments. Here's the funny thing. I'm a fan of all the tournaments. So even though I'm fishing Bass again, dude, I watch like every event, all the Toyotas, all the MLS. I'm watching them like crazy live and everything else. And in both those tournaments, dude, normally a guy gets second, he's like pissed off, he's mad, he's dejected, he's throwing shit. Oh, fuck, I had to win in Fisher.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Yeah. But, dude, I see it. With those last two finishes you had, I'm looking at your body language, and I'm like, nah, dude. Justin's fucking – he's in that zone. He's rolling. He's happy. Talk a little bit about that, because you seem like you're in a really good place. Are you just putting on a good act, or are you in a really good place right now?
You know, of course you're pissed, dude. But at the same time, I know what's done is done. You can't change that crap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You the fish, it's done. So I lost a big one that would have easily won in heavy hitters, but I never had the bite at Pickwick. I knew in my gut I needed one more bite, and I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm just having a freaking blast. Like, I'm just going out there having a really good time fishing, enjoying every minute of it. People don't see that I still have struggle periods throughout the days and stuff, you know. Yeah.
Oh, I see them. I get to see the struggle periods. I see the come in here and the bar stools are laying on the ground.
Oh,
sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, that's
I'm
my.
Like, what happened? He's like, oh, this place sucks.
Oh, and man,
like,
that's my style right there. I like it.
No sauteed onions or top line ribeye. Right.
We're just having fun.
I'm asking you this, Justin, for selfish purposes, because I'm having a really off year. I'm probably having one of the worst seasons I've ever had in my career. How did you get to the place you're at now? I mean, you know, I've been there before. I've gotten in those roles. when you feel like, you know, you can't make a mistake, things are happening good. And then you get into those years where everything's wrong. How did you get to where you're at now? Is it just fishing a lot? Is it just good decisions? Is it positive thinking? How did you get to where you're at now?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Because I've been there too. I've had bad years.
Yeah.
I'm a very momentum guy. I'll miss two or three checks and then get several in a row, whatever, you know. But I missed the first two this year, Sam Rayburn and Darbone, and I finished bad, like 101 and 78. That was one of the times Bobby got to hear me about Sam Rayburn. I was pissed. But especially because he caught him and he made it look so easy.
Yeah.
Freaking, what were you doing? But anyway, dude, I went out. I thought to myself at Lake Fork before we started that tournament, I thought, what do you do good? How do you normally do good in tournaments? And it's generally fishing slower, a lot of times with soft plastic or even slower with topwater, different things. But so I put all soft plastics on the deck of my boat at Fork. And the first morning of practice, I just kept them in my hands and I finally stumbled into a couple bites. And that's when my confidence for this year just changed instantly. Right. I had one good day of practice, transferred it into the tournament, had a top 10. And then since then, you know, just have kind of been able to keep it going. So, but I'll say this too. Mark Rose told me a long time ago, I'll never forget this, when I was a co-angler, I asked him, how do you fish out of a slump? And he said, the only way to get out of a slump is to fish your way out of it.
Right.
And so, you know, I always try, and that's why we're doing boat tours, like signing up, fishing 12, 13, 14, 15 events. I'm good with, because I know that that'll give me my chance to hit a good tournament and then keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna throw this in there because I am not even close to where his level is. The guy is amazing.
Yeah.
On his units, let me tell you,
he can
find stuff that nobody else fishes, and I'm not gonna say what it is or what he's using, but because that's a drop kick, but he is very, very precise on his units, and he can turn any fishery into something really good that nobody's even considering. He's that good with his units.
Yeah, it's important. That's an important part of the sport. I think it's something that I'm lacking. You know,
how do you up your unit game?
I was gonna say I used to be a lot better with my unit too, but as you get older, you don't use your units as much.
Blue chews, guys. Blue chews will change your life.
Yeah, blue chews. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
40 milligrams.
40 milligrams.
Do you start there or do you work up to that?
You're 18 years old with 40 milligrams.
Justin, do you concur? Are we talking different stuff?
Just too young for that. He doesn't need
Charles,
that shit.
You got to call Blue Chips.
I'm still good, bro.
Now, Bobby probably needs some, but Justin doesn't need none of that.
Why am I getting another?
Yeah, I got a hot wife. I'm all good.
Okay. I have to ask you guys this while you're on there. How's things at MLF? How's the MLF tour? You know, from afar, things look great. How's things going? How's the atmosphere at Major League Fishing? How's all that stuff?
You want to go?
Yeah, I'll take it. It's the first part of it. Why not? Like I said, Red Crest was a huge, huge win for us, Mike. It really was. Literally, we weighed in at boat ramps, or not weighed in, but we did the venue at the boat ramps. That was it. Hardly anybody show up. You sign a couple autographs. And I'm going to say this year, I know at Darbone, it was huge. Literally hundreds of people at the boat ramp at Caney Creek there. I know Justin has a story at Heavy Hitters. I didn't make the championship, but he can tell you about that one. But our fan base seems to really be growing.
Yeah.
Our fans at the boat ramp, our fans at places that we're going now are starting to show up, and it's something that we really truly needed. And you could feel everybody's want for that. I mean, we go to St. Lawrence and nobody's at the ramp, and you guys go a week later and there's thousands of people.
Yeah.
Simply because, you know, we're running 50 miles to get back or 20 miles and nobody knows when you're coming in. So
right.
things are really starting to pick up. I've been very, very impressed at the boat ramps. We've been signing a lot of autographs when we come back to the boat ramp for sure. And Justin can tell you, heavy hitters, that was a big one there too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Thursday afternoon. I didn't expect anybody to be there, but we got back and there's probably 600-700 people there, like waiting to get autographs on a Thursday at 4 p.m.
A lot of high school kids
that's good.
Coming out.
That's good to hear.
Yeah,
that
was just really good.
I think it's good though, dude. I mean, you know, the morale over here is good right now. I would say there's of course guys that'll always. What I've learned is there's guys that are always going to complain about something.
Yeah.
That at the end of the day, we pay $40,000 to fish over here. It wasn't what we signed up for, but we're still guaranteed $30,000 back. So I have this platform that I'm risking $10,000 of my own money to promote my sponsors. That's how. One thing's never changed in fishing. If you can catch fish and promote sponsors, you can make good money.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. We do have a great platform to promote your sponsors, and it's a little risk to do it. So yeah. From a business standpoint, I'm happy. I didn't like the 1 pound minimum. I was pretty firm on that. I think we even talked about it before. For me, changing to the 2 pound was a big deal for me because I love targeting bigger fish. Even though I fish with the spinning rod a lot, I love catching big fish. You know, I finished second in heavy hitters points last year, or weight, you know, got second most weight out of everybody for big fish throughout the year. So I love catching big ones. And when we have our minimum now, most of the time at 2 pounds, we can do that, you know, and nobody's running off with 40, 50 fish anymore. Like those days are done. And we're catching giants everywhere we go. I mean, freaking Randy Howell caught almost a 13-pounder.
That was incredible.
And a 11 or whatever. We're catching toads. So, it's fun. We're going to good places. Palestine was cool. Caney and all that was cool, even though I didn't get to fish it. So, that's the one thing about MLF that I like is the little bit smaller field. You can go to some of these places where you'd never be able to go with 100 boats, you know, or 110.
Yeah, there's definitely, I can tell you this, there's definitely things I miss about MLF. I think that format's exciting. I liked some of the rules there. There are things I miss there. And I can tell you from a fan base perspective, and this goes back before I even decided to come back to Bass, you know, when I was sort of surveying the fans. Fans are very hardcore. There's fans that love Bass. Fans that love MLF, you know what I mean? There's a very distinct line that a lot of the fans draw. But I think MLF, and I'm being honest here, I think MLF attracts new fans more because of the format, right? You know, the traditional fans that have watched it for a long time, they like Bass.
So but younger kids coming up.
I think younger kids
gravitating
coming
gravitating towards MLF.
I think so. I think
interesting.
I think younger kids and I think a lot of people that have never fished before can look at MLF and relate to that a little bit more. So I think there's different fan bases. But here's what I wanted to say to you real quick. I believe that the leagues at some point, wouldn't it be great if Justin, wouldn't it be great if you could fish the BPT and the elites and not have any conflicts and not have Bobby, wouldn't it be great if you could fish both top tours and not have any conflicts? Dude, it would be great for you. It would be great for your sponsors. It would be great for the fans. And I say this almost every time we talk about this dumb topic. We've talked about it so many times, but it has to happen, and I feel like we're obligated to make it happen, right? There shouldn't be a fight between Bass and MLF. I know there's only so many weeks in the year, but dude, we're pro anglers. We should have the opportunity to fish both top tours, and I hope that happens one day. Round of applause, Brian Carpenter, for that statement. Yeah. Would you guys agree with that? Would you fish both?
Justin are fishing the pro circuit. I love that five fish weigh-in. I love going on stage. And I mean, that's the way we grew up. So we're both fishing the pro circuit along with my brother and Cal, but
Cal Norton, you know,
and several other MLF pros.
Yeah.
But it was hard to get rid of, and it was fun to get back to the pro circuit right. for sure. But I'm with you. That would be a lot of tournaments. But why wouldn't you be able to just kind of pick and choose what you wanted to fish, and you take your top eight events or something, kind of like golf, you yeah. know? You play a certain amount of tournaments, and the FedEx Cup points kind of kick in where they are.
Somebody yeah. carries your rods around for you.
Yeah, rod caddy.
You wear you wear spikes on grass and walk.
I would like
but
that.
You need spikes to walk on grass.
I would like that.
And let you call yourself an athlete. Yeah. So I love it.
Let me ask you both this, just straight up. Like let golf. Me ask you both this. If Jim Wilburn and Boyd Duckett said, you guys, we're not going to conflict schedules. You guys can go fish both tours if you want. Bobby, would you fish bass and MLF? Justin, would you fish both if you could?
Yeah, I would. If there was like no problem doing it.
I would in a heartbeat. It would be a huge schedule because we're seven and you guys are nine, right, Mike? Eight?
Yes, I think eight or nine.
You're looking Becky. At me like I know. Why are you looking at me,
I don't even know.
He was looking for Becky. Yeah.
So if you add in the championships and whatnot, that's going to put you at 17 or 18, which is super compact. I mean, I think this year we're fishing 7 and 6, plus a couple championships and heavy hitters, so we're at 15. But 150% a go right here.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys at Bass Pro Tour.
You forgot
as well.
NPFL, Mike.
NPFL, yeah. I can't forget about that league.
You fish all three of them.
Yeah, fish all three of them. Let me remind you guys, we've got two amazing guests on tonight. Of course, we've got Bobby Lane, winner of the Red Crest Championship, on the phone, and also Justin Lucas. What do we got? We got a couple more questions before we let these,
Deb
guys
from,
go.
Deb from St. Lawrence wants to know, Bobby, what's your favorite salad?
Deb from St. Lawrence.
Oh, you knew this was coming. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give it to her, Mike. I'm going to give it to Deb. Deb makes the best salad in the world, and she is from St. Lawrence. Yeah. I don't know what's all in it, but I think she spends 20 hours a day putting that thing together.
I think you're right. And there may or may not be a little bit of marijuana in that salad, but it's all natural.
It's all natural.
So it's okay.
It's from God.
It's from God. That's right. Jake, what do we got? We got a couple more for these guys before we let them go.
We get a question from Dale Jr. There was a trophy that was posted today, a team tournament trophy.
Yeah.
Chris
Lane, that's
Bobby
right.
Lane.
That's right. I did see that. Yeah. First of all, what the hell is that? Why does MLF always have shit posted that nobody knows about? Bobby, do you want to answer that? Justin, what the hell is this?
All right. That was the team series event that was the pilot show, and which is now a legit thing. It was the pilot show. We aired it down in Florida. Edwin Evers, Skeet Reese, and Mark Rose were the captains. They had to pick two anglers from the whole group. Edwin picked me, and then, of course, he told me to pick somebody, and I picked my brother. We had Brent Ayler, Skeet Reese, Michael Neal, Brian Thrift, Andy Montgomery. I mean, we had the hammers.
Yeah.
And we ended up coming out on top at the end. Ended up getting them on a spin rocket, one of Justin's baits from Berkeley. Lit them up in the third period and walked away with it there at the end. And we got a little check for it. And then at this last meeting, they called me, Edwin, and my brother up on stage, and they pulled the sheet down. And behind it were these three giant trophies. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding
me. That's awesome.
It was super cool. So the new format is going to be the top 27 in points will be the captains. We will each pick two guys from the rest of the field. And that will be the new team series. There will be three of those and then a championship that's worth like $300,000. So it's a pretty neat, cool deal. And I'm going to tell you, everybody I've talked to has said watching you, your brother, and Edwin go through that thing was like on Bluetooth all day. Was super cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, will that be televised? Is that something we can watch? Is that something we can see on TV?
So it was televised right during Easter, and now you can go to MOTV to check it out. It's on MOTV now, but they said just listening to you and your brother work together all day was might have been the coolest thing that I've ever watched in my life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I do like that. I do like that MLF is trying a lot of new stuff and new formats and, you know, new tournaments like that. That's pretty awesome. All right. Before we let you guys go.
We got breaking news.
We have break. No, we don't breaking news.
Oh, we don't?
Okay. No. Before we let you guys go, there's both you guys have been on the show before, so you know this game. There is one game we play, and it's the Ike Live Rapid Fire Questions. You both played them before on the show. You know the rules. The only thing you can't do is you can't lie. We're going to ask you five questions, and you have to answer them honestly. Are you guys ready to play?
No.
Yes! Yes! He was being honest.
I think that was a yes.
He won. He was being honest.
Yes.
He said no.
Yes. All there's, right.
There's about seven questions.
All right. Now there's five questions.
Right. Got to go rig rods for.
There's five questions. And we're going to split it up. We're going to make it fair. And by the way, guys, fair. These questions, these are five questions. These came from Stormtrooper himself. So there's some of them are a little racy. Don't mind them, Stormtrooper. You know.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you know how it is. And so I'll just break them up. Bobby, we'll start with you. Okay. Mm. The question is. So Bobby, funny. This again, remember, this is from Stormtrooper. Bobby, what's worse, Northeastern Karens moving to Florida or – what the hell does that say?
Sub-Saharan iguanas.
Sub-Saharan
iguanas.
Sub-Saharan iguanas. Right. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I told you they didn't like me.
Mike, easy, moving to Florida.
The Northern Karens moving to Florida is worse than the iguanas.
I'm going to take it over. You guys haven't laughed at me yet. I guess I could do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, all right?
Get it.
All right, well, wait a minute. We have to. Did he get it right?
Yes.
The first question. He did it. Bobby, you're right on that.
Absolutely.
Northern Karens was the right answer.
That's correct.
Correct? Okay. This one's for Justin.
Stormtrooper helmet.
Justin, what is more annoying, Americans with Ukraine flags virtue signaling? Or middle-aged spectator men wearing Dave LaFebvre tournament jerseys at weigh-ins.
Middle-aged men.
For sure.
Dave, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's correct! Justin, correct!
You've got a tie.
Bobby, did you fish bass?
I did.
Okay. What did you loathe more when being interviewed on stage? Feeling obligated to compliment your boat's sponsor's live wells or shaking Tripp's lap mannequin sized hand?
Oh, that would be B.
That would be B with Tripp's hands. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's correct!
All right. Tripp
Weldon's hands. Okay.
This question is for Justin. Justin, in our new world, what or would you like to identify as?
Oh, huh.
What or would?
Yeah, what or would you like to identify as?
Dude, I don't play that game.
All right, next question, Bobby.
Wait, was that correct?
That is incorrect.
That's
Bobby.
Incorrect. That's not the right answer. Okay, we got a wrong one.
Bobby. Who is hotter, a prime RuPaul or Caitlyn Jenner?
Oh, God.
Oh, my. Wow. Yeah, we're not going there either, guys. So, yes,
Bobby,
got
Bobby.
Got three there. Justin's next.
Justin.
Hey, wait.
Quick funny story for you. You guys will like this. Road tripping several years ago, I got bored. My buddy's driving. And I Google hot trannies and start asking my buddy if he thought these chicks were hot. And he's like, oh, yeah, hot, they're all hot. I'm like, dude, those are all trannies.
Yeah. I'm sure they were all Taiwanese. I fell for the same thing before, dude. Yeah, right? I knew it.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, man.
Next question, Justin. Whose original hammer was bigger, RuPaul or Caitlyn Jenner?
Good Lord, dude.
Dude, I don't know.
All right.
correct.
We're going to move off that topic, Bobby.
That is correct.
Bobby.
Yep.
Worst fill-in on the bump board official. Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, my.
Working the bump board.
They were equal.
Equal?
it's not a keeper. Back and you lose your big one.
Yeah, and one will have you killed and the other won't figure it out.
Oh, that's good.
All righty, that might be about it.
Is that it?
Hold on. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
All right.
Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. I think we had two wrong.
No.
Wait.
Yeah, Justin. Justin, for you. Justin, who would be a worse travel mate? Amber Heard with no bathroom around, or Skeet Reese with no hair gel in sight?
Dude, that whole thing with Amber is just weird, so I'm going to go with her, dude.
Dave, is that...
I would not want her as a travel partner.
Dave, correct.
No, that's correct.
Amber Heard is correct. Amber Heard is correct. Amber Heard urination is correct.
No, I did not. Good thing they asked you, because I'm clueless.
She took a dump in bed as like a joke.
Bobby, despite Johnny Depp, she squatted over his side of the bed and pinched a loaf on his side of the bed like she was a chihuahua. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It was in the trial. It was all over the place.
That's hardcore.
Oh. Yeah.
She admitted it.
She dropped the loaf. She admitted it right on his side of the bed.
Wow.
What the?
Yeah.
She pinched right there.
How do you get to that point in your life where you're like, yeah, I've done everything. You know what I haven't done?
Pinched in the bed.
And he's like, yeah.
Dude, when you have everything, I listened to an interview with Jake the Snake Roberts, the old wrestler. When you have everything, everything else is boring, and only the outlandish shit becomes interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Thank you, guys. First thing you fucking
left. A Jake the Snake quote.
Yeah, and the Jake the Snake. Guys, thank you.
Hold on.
Yeah. What?
Did you not get my text?
No, I didn't get a text.
I sent you a text.
I didn't see it.
Well, okay.
Well, just what do you got, Bri?
Tell the man.
Well, Dave talked about it earlier. We've had Bobby on several times, and every time we have Bobby on, we forget to bring this up, that you shared a grass bed with Bobby on the Potomac.
Yes.
An event that I believe Bobby won.
At the Mouth of the Matter Woman, yes.
Yes.
No, Mouth of... what's that creek? Yeah. You drive over 95. Bobby, what'd you win that ever start?
Occoquan?
Occoquan, yeah. Mouth of Occoquan.
Yeah.
Yep. Actually, I won one in Mattawoman and one in Chick.
Well, there you go.
Well, when you did really well, maybe like 05, 06 at the Mouth of Occoquan as well, at that island.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
That big out in front of
Is that Occoquan. The one that Clawson won?
He won it.
Oh, Bobby won it?
No, I don't know.
No, nope. Clawson won that one. Ike, you finished second, and I was third in that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that year, I caught him in Belmont.
Belmont. That's what you're talking about, Dave.
That's
Belmont,
where you're talking about. I caught him in the mouth of – right, that's where you're talking about. I caught him in the, Belmont.
Occoquan, Belmont, same thing.
Oh, okay. Belmont's that one that goes off to the right?
Yeah. I mean, that whole area is Belmont.
I called that Occoquan.
But you were on the winning fish, and you knew it.
I was on the winning fish. I knew it, and I was poor. I didn't have power poles, and the wind was blowing. Like, all leading up to practice, there was no wind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And in the tournament, you had to win.
But then I got there, and I couldn't catch any keepers. Everything I probably caught, I don't know, 25 fish.
Yeah.
None of the ones I was catching in practice. And the wind was whipping.
Okay.
And I remember seeing his wrapped boat.
Yeah.
Power pole down, I mean? And you were blown past
power
him.
Down, power pole down. And
Dave was the boat blown past you.
Yeah, I was the one drifting.
The
like,
thing about that tournament was there was like 40 guys that started there. And the second, not many guys caught him the first day. And the second day, there was like two boats. The third day, there was only me. And then on the final day, it was only me. I mean, that's like going to the monkey box in Okeechobee and having it to yourself for once when all the fish are packed in one spot. It was really cool the way that thing worked out.
Yeah,
but
awesome.
Yeah, it did.
So glad it worked out for you.
That's one of the reasons Dave decided not to continue on with his quests in professional fishing. So you changed his life for the better, I think, Dave.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, who would want to fish every day?
Yeah, who wants to be a gypsy with the hookers and the bugs and all that stuff?
Yeah, who would want to have bed bugs and
travel the country and see beautiful sunrises every
sign
day?
Autographs
and make millions of dollars and catch fish. Who wants to do that for a living? It's terrible.
Boo.
Guys, I appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks for playing along, too, with that ridiculous, dumb skit we just threw at you.
You made me do that skit. I was minding my business.
I know I did it because it's funny. It is funny. Good luck at Lake of the Ozarks this week, guys. You're different groups. We'll be watching. Justin, you only got to move up one spot from the last two events, so you're good there. Bobby, you don't need to do anything else for like 5 years. I hope you win another one, but you're good for like 5 years.
Yeah, you had enough.
You're covered.
Take it easy.
All right, and we are gonna from this podcast on, Mike. Checks through the end of the year on the elites.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I need that support.
That's two top tens and all checks.
All right, I'm into that.
Mike needs these checks like we need Biden. All right. You got enough checks.
Oh my God.
I was going back to the bed bugs, I guess.
Yeah, I'll take some bed bugs to the face over that dude.
There you have it, everybody. Bobby Lane, Justin Lucas.
Oh my God.
Thank you guys. Yes.
Thank
good
you
luck,
so much.
Guys.
Good luck this week.
Good luck tomorrow, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin.
That's awesome.
Appreciate
you.
Good guests.
Good guests. Good guests. Brian Carpenter, good job. I like when we get the double guest like that.
Well,
it's rare, though. It's unique. Yeah.
And they're on
because
scene.
We always don't have two high-profile guys together like that. So that was really nice.
There's no MMA podcast to get two guys in a fight camp.
Right.
Sitting there live yapping it up.
Isn't that true?
Winners.
It's awesome. Yeah. Both fishing really good this year. Both really good guys. That was awesome.
What was that laugh for?
Just everything. I was just reflecting on what just happened.
I can't get the visual of Amber Heard's turd sitting in
no,
the bed.
No, she's not hot anymore, dude.
She's not hot.
It completely cured the hotness. Knowing she like
I don't even know who she is. Was she an Olympic athlete?
No, Amber Heard was.
She wasn't
like
a swimmer. Or something?
An old school MMA movie. She was like the hot blonde in the MMA movie. She wound up with Johnny Depp.
I don't know who it is.
Crushed his hundreds of millions, helped him squander it, pooped on his bed, beat him up.
Yeah, beat him up.
Like,
beat
did
him
all
up.
Kinds of crazy stuff.
Wow.
I mean, I was team Johnny Depp from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Captain Jack.
He is. He's a great actor.
Captain Jack.
Man, pinched the loaf right in his bed.
Right on his side. He explained it on the stand.
Wow.
That's how I learned about it.
Did he explain what kind of loaf it was?
No, he didn't explain the consistency of the texture or anything like that. But
All right. Well,
he said it was clearly a human one, not an animal one, he said.
Right.
So it must have had some length.
It had human profile.
Yeah.
So how does it – so that whole thing's public. What's the distraction for?
It's Ghislaine Maxwell. So Ghislaine Maxwell was Jeffrey Epstein's assistant.
Oh, you know
she
what?
She helped procure the young women. Her trial went completely unmentioned all the time, and this one front and center the entire time.
Wow.
That's all.
Wow.
I'm going to get
That's
it.
The world we live in.
Right yeah. There. Let's move on Let's before move I get on. Screamed at.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get screamed at. Who cares? Brian, that was a great segment. I think we should take a break. Listen to me.
Yo, we got some good stuff coming up.
We do. I
we
know
got
we
Powell
do.
Ray Paul, I got a surprise for you
okay.
guys.
All right. Listen to me. You heard it from Brian. Hang in there. It was a great segment, but we got something better coming for you. A couple surprise things. Powell Ray Paul.
Just that and the
Hang
third.
In there. When we come back, more Ike Live. Yeah, man.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature, conservation. Ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
Four and a half inch drop shot worm, Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J, give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerk bait and a stick bait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras, like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend. And the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves? A beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? What if we celebrated taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures? And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? What if? Founders All Day IPA. Low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Chase your what if.
All right, Brian. Torquedo today. We've got the Ike Live Tiny Boat out. I want to tell you, this is not just for electric-only reservoirs. It's for other things as well. Today is a great example. Where are we? What are we going to take this thing through today?
The Upper Susquehanna.
Upper Susquehanna River.
That's right.
Current, rock,
lots
nasty bottom,
yep.
And we're going to use the Torquedo.
Everybody else running jet drives. We've got the rock guard on the Torquedo. We're going to some small spots.
Yeah.
Get in there. We're going to make it happen.
There you go.
Let's go.
Shallow water,
beep.
Speed, strength, power. Come on. Let's
consistency.
Go.